As we celebrate this solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, we're reminded that God and His greatness is not actually limited in any capacity. One of the most fascinating things about celebrating the Trinity is to look at some of the great theologians who've come before and all that they have tried to tell us about the Trinity. I always think of the story about St. Augustine. St. Augustine decided he was going to write down everything there was to know about the Trinity. In order to do this, in order to get ready, he began to reflect, and he went out to the beach, and he was actually walking along the shoreline, and he saw a little boy, and this little boy had dug a hole in the sand right there on the beach. And then he had gotten his pail, and he went out to the ocean, and he got a bucket full of water, and he ran back, and he poured the water into this hole that he had made. And he looked at it, and he kind of thought about it for a second, and he ran back, and he did a second bucket full, and a third, and a fourth, and eventually, the child was clearly frustrated, and he sat down, and he was clearly very upset. And St. Augustine went over to him, and he said, "What are you doing?" The little boy said, "I'm trying to put the ocean into this hole that I've made. I'm going to put the ocean into this space." St. Augustine looked at him and said, "Look at the ocean. Look at the size and the magnitude and the massiveness that is the ocean. You're never going to fit the ocean into some little hole you dug in the sand." The little boy looked up at him and said, "And you're never going to be able to fully explain the Trinity either, for the same reason." And then the little boy disappeared. And of course, you know, God being in his own wisdom and having shown these things. By the way, I don't know if it was out of a revelation from this particular moment or out of genuine hubris, but St. Augustine still wrote down everything you think of about the Trinity and wrote it called De Trinitate on the Trinity, which, by the way, if you read it, is a lot like trying to fit the ocean into a holy and dugout beach. So good luck with that. But it is an incredible mystery, this truly remarkable mystery, when we consider the greatness that is the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. What we have here is this enormous mystery, and not mystery in the sense that we can't know anything about it, but actually mystery in the true sense, in the sacramental sense, that we continue to know things about it, but because of its infiniteness, our finite beings will only continue to approach it without fully being able to envelop it. It's kind of like pouring the ocean into a bucket. And yet, here we are trying to consider. And you know, fascinatingly enough, when I think about the Trinity, when I think about the truly remarkable things that the Trinity teaches us, I think one of the greatest examples, one of the greatest moments of reflection for us when we come to know the Trinity, really we see it expressed within our own creation. You know, it's a fascinating thing, but we can argue a lot of things about God, but one of the matters that we actually come to face to face on a regular basis is this need to express God as someone who loves us. And fascinatingly enough, that actually is reflected in everything else that we're going to talk about with the Trinity. You see, love by itself has to be a gift. To love ourselves, to be a narcissist, that's not really love. Love actually requires an agent to receive it. We actually have to be giving in order to be loving. The very fact of the matter is that God, in his single Godhead, actually has to have a separate person who can receive his infinite love. And so we express it as God the Father loving God the Son. This great outpouring of love, this great gift of self, that is God the Father giving of himself to the Son. And he gives himself completely. And God the Son not only can receive that love completely, but he can pour out that love completely back to the Father. And he can give completely of himself to the Father. And when the Father gives completely of himself, and the Son gives completely of himself, that love that is outpoured between the two of them, that is the Holy Spirit. We see it expressed in creation. There is something truly remarkable about the way that Genesis describes creation, and especially when it comes to creating us. Because what does it say? It says, "Let us make man in our own image." And it's not that God made man and then said, "I could do better." It's not that God made man and then said, "I bet we can even balance this out a little bit more." No, he said, "Let us make man in our own image." Not God made man in his image, not God made woman in his image. But in his image he created them. Male and female, he created them. A wholeness is actually only expressed when there is something to share. Because when the man and the woman can actually have each other, they have this recognition, that love requires
that they pour themselves out for the other. That when we truly witness love, it is a gift of self to someone else. And unless we can learn to give of ourselves in that self-gift, we don't really understand the full capacity of what love can be. You see, when the man gives himself in full love to the woman, and the woman gives herself in full love to the man, trust me, 9 months later, you can name that too. Yeah. There is this great expression of this, this great outpouring that actually is fully expressed within a couple, within two who actually give of themselves to each other. And then when we celebrate the Trinity, we actually see this great reflection in gift of love. When we look at God as fickle or singular or selfish, we actually get an incomplete picture. We don't even understand why creation would come to be. It would be this giant mystery. It would be this great confusion with very little to try and express it. But the fact of the matter is because God is this gift of love, it explains creation. Why did God make the world? Because he loved so much that he wanted to share it. And then he made someone in his own image and likeness, someone who was also capable of partaking in that love, of living into not only the beauty of creation, but to know what it is to both give of oneself in love and to know that love in return. The challenge is that we as finite creatures cannot fully receive all of God's love all of the time. We're finite. God isn't. So it necessitates that there is the Trinity as well. That there is this Father-Son relationship, this Holy Spirit that expresses this love, this great reality, this great mystery, that God can not only share in that love there, but then can be so overflowing that he can give it to us as well. That we can experience beauty and love within God's creation because there is a Trinity. As we celebrate this divine Trinity, as we celebrate this most holy solemnity, I want to challenge you all to consider two very important facts that really only come about through this great mystery. One, we can always come to know something more about it. Never be afraid to continue to study and explore and consider and pray about the divine Trinity. Because while it is a mystery and there will always be a little bit more for us to understand, that doesn't change the fact that we continue to understand a little bit more of it ourselves. And two, never underestimate what a truly remarkable and necessary element it is to not only to know that love that God gives, but to be that agent that gives of God's love. And as we do that, we not only come to understand the nature of the Trinity more, but we come to understand the beauty of humanity as well. And in it, we get to celebrate something truly remarkable. A God who loved the world so much that he would send even himself so that we might be saved.